Great. So can you guys introduce yourselves just for people?
Hi, I'm Charlie from Tall Order and I play the lead guitar.
Hi, I'm Will. I'm a lead singer and rhythm guitarist for Tall Order.
I'm Luke and I play bass guitar in Tall Order.
Harry, drums.
And why are you called Tall Order?
I nicked it from a song by Tosca. The band that actually sings over in Guildford is quite fitting because they, yeah. They're mates with Andertons and all the people over there.
Awesome. In Farnham?
Is it in Farnham? I don't know the South very well.
It's at the, I don't know.
Anderton's music shop.
We don't live in Guildford.
We don't live in Guildford. So it's from like, up north.
Yeah. Are you from York?
We went to university. Well, me and Luke went to university in York.
Well, we're from Yorkshire, but so West Yorkshire.
Me, Harry, and Will are from. We met in sixth form in West Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you all kind of met at different stages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Charlie and I actually know each other from like being really young.
We met each other when we were like a few months old.
Yeah.
And have been best friends for like 21 years.
And then Harry came. And then Harry came in sixth form, and then Luke. Met Charlie through university, and then here we are.
Yeah, very exciting.
You have it.
Yeah.
It's really quite a few other members come and go.
Yeah. Bass has always been a really hard one to get nailed down, but we found our bassist now.
Yeah.
How long have you been a bassist in the band?
Basically a year, a little over a year now. So I picked up bass basically to fill the role when Charlie asked me to.
Right.
I played guitar beforehand. I could kind of translate some skills, but the mindset of bass has only really started to come around now.
He's really, really good, honestly. Yeah. He's insane.
It's been fun, and I'm very glad that I was asked. So,
who's your favourite bassist?
Bass, oh crikey. If I had to pick one right now, I'd say Pino Palladino. He's it is a cool name. It's a very bass player name, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
The stuff I know him most from would be he's done stuff for John Mayer, and that's the main one.
Is he the guy with the glasses?
He always stands at the back, just like
grooving. He's kind of just in the zone, yeah,
in the pocket.
He's really, really good.
Yeah. Probably him.
What bands do you guys all like as a whole?
I'd say Queens of Stone Age is like a big one. Yeah. For all
on the drive over today, which took 6 hours. We listened to 6 albums, and 3 of them were Queens of the Stone Age ones. Yeah. We absolutely love Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, we're going to see them actually in November at Bournemouth. Even though we live nowhere near Bournemouth.
Nowhere near. But we like them. And then I would say the influences kind of change person to person. So for example, me and my dad listened to a lot of like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, which influenced my vocals a little bit. But I also like bands. There's a really good band called High School. Been signed by Speedy Wonderground. I really, really like them at the minute. But it does really change. Harry, for example, like, you like all sorts of weird stuff, Harry.
I sort of come from, like, I grew up around, like, funk and disco.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of, like, listen to a lot of Chic, listen to a lot of, you know, like, Parliament Funkadelic, all that sort of stuff. But obviously there's more heavy stuff, like, sort of, Foo Fighters, I feel like there's a lot of Dave Grohl in sort of a lot of how I play.
Mm-hmm.
He was
quite influenced by disco, wasn't he?
Yeah, like he was influenced by lots of like Gap Band and stuff. So that's like a lot of sort of like that deep, like in the pocket, like also like 16th or syncopation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I take from that, I think.
Do you know John Bonham? Drummer.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, John Bonham,
awesome.
Very influential drummer, but for me, I don't know what it is, but like, I don't listen to many old drummers, like lots of like drummers are like into, you know, like, they're proper like, proper old influential drummers like John Bonham,
mm-hmm.
I end up listening to a lot of people who are influenced by John Bonham,
mm-hmm.
So there is influence there, but it's filtered through, you know, like, my more contemporary tastes.
How did you ask your parents for a drum kit? Because you know they're really loud.
They are. Well, it helped that my neighbour was a very lovely but slightly deaf old woman.
Was that before or after you started playing drums?
Oh no, that was before and during. Thankfully, very lovely. Never, no complaints ever, which I think is a good sign. But
Yeah. She just couldn't hear, or
pretty much. That's, I'm assuming.
Maybe she enjoyed it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, maybe and maybe not. I wasn't. I mean, I was like 10, so probably wasn't that good.
You
but you know,
drumming because you were 10.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did. I literally, you know, the sort of like. I started when I was 8 at my like. Been a hi-hat clutch.
Yeah.
Right. Go over to the right behind where Luke's guitar amp is.
Yeah.
There's like a little Ziploc bag, and in that bag there's a hi-hat clutch.
Okay.
It's funny. If you
I'll take that out of the.
Okay, so you probably won't have heard this, but like some person came in and asked for a hi-hat clutch, which is weird because Harry and I, for the last gig we played, talked for probably about 20 minutes about how no band, no matter how big they are, ever has a spare hi-hat clutch.
What's a hi-hat clutch?
Right. So, so you know how the you use your foot to control the hi-hat?
Put that there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically you can either, it's like a spring on it, so it can either be open, like it's normally open, or you put your foot on it to close it, and then you get your nice closed little ting. But in order to attach it to the little pole that moves up and down,
mm-hmm.
You need to attach it basically using a clutch which clamps down on it and holds it in place, then you can move it around with your foot.
I did not know that. There you go. That's a hi-hat clutch.
Yeah. You learn something here every day.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know that. I like your nails, by the way, as well.
Oh, thank you. I try and go more colour coordinated, but I thought, I was just feeling green. I don't know what it was.
Harry's been wearing some outrageous outfits recently. The last one was a cropped black vest with some 3/4 length pink camo.
The pink camo. It's
pink camo.
It was a great look.
It's outrageous.
You have to be quite cool to carry it off, but I feel like you carry it off.
What's the thing? Whenever I go out, because it's just so eye catching, which kind of defeats the purpose of camo. Everyone's always like, oh my god, I love your pants. I'm like, thank you.
Is it like skinny jeans?
Oh no, they're like a sort of like cargo-y sort of.
Oh, like I get you.
Yeah, like loose, like with cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Anyway, enough about my fashion sense.
Awesome. And guitarist.
Yes.
Who's your like influence guitar-wise?
Well, Alex Turner was the classic indie boy. Like, the
have you seen him recently?
Cool. Yeah, I saw him at Leeds Fest last year, and then I saw him on the 2018 Tranquility Base tour as well. Nice. I personally really liked them, but I think the crowd detracted from their like performance at Leeds Fest, definitely. But
that's what people said about like the festival.
They were pretty terrible. It was like a TikTok audience. Pretty naff. But yeah, I heard AM when I was like 12, and then asked for a guitar for Christmas that year.
Isn't he from Yorkshire?
Yeah, he's from Sheffield.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I like that as well. And so yeah, he inspired me to play guitar, but then I sort of got into my heavier stuff like Led Zeppelin. So Jimmy Page has like got through massively. I think there's a lot through him, a lot of blues influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into like Metallica, and then from there there's me and Luke are quite into metal, so we went to Download Festival this year.
We did.
That was amazing.
What bands did you like there?
Oh, Metallica being one.
Metallica twice.
Slipknot, Ghost.
Yeah.
Who were the other headliners?
Bring Me the Horizon. They were really good.
Yeah. Disturbed were great. That was so many.
Born Ashore actually was really good. Really impressive vocally. Like what Will Ramos can do with his voice is insane.
It was also the hottest point we've had all summer.
Yeah.
Over that weekend.
It was such
so
a fun time.
Like 30 odd degrees out in the open heat. No shade. It was.
Didn't you make a drink
extreme.
Called the Black Death?
Oh yeah.
Am I right in saying you made a drink called the Black
Felix,
Death?
Who, he's our mate from uni. We met up with him there. He made a drink called the Black Death, and it was basically like they poured out the best part of a bottle of Coke, and then poured a bottle of Captain Morgan's spiced rum into it, and marinated it in the sun in the tent for 3 days. So we popped it off. We tried to like twist off the top of it, and it flew off. And
the
then there was
microplastics and that.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, was it warm and?
Yeah, and flat, but it was quite nice. But it was lethal. That was fun at the dog tooth stage every night.
You definitely got to like Captain Morgan's for that.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Luckily, I am a fan. But,
I didn't drink any of that, by the way.
Smart choice.
No, I stayed away from that. Yeah.
And singers.
So Nick Cave. Like I said, I really like his vocals. Weirdly, like I would say, different to these guys, maybe boring. So I like a lot. I like a bit more of like soul stuff. So I love Leonard Cohen, Lou Reed, but like, I don't know, stylistically, it kind of changes from time to time, which is why, like, if you ever listen to our music, it can very much change what you hear vocally. Damon Albarn, love his voice. And, like, I've been getting a lot, like, recently I've been getting way more into, like, more stylized vocals. So it's really nice to hear, like, clean, low, like, sonorous tones, but then, like, I do like it when, like, artists will, like, really bring out, like, an edge to, like, an edge vocally. Like, they'll either lean into something. Like, I'm almost sure, like, Damon Albarn doesn't actually, you know, I'm sure he didn't start singing like that. And this other band that was saying High School, I love the way they sound. I would say those, like, and obviously Josh Homme, yeah, of course, Queens of the Stone Age, Josh Homme. That guy knows how to write lyrics. Some of them are so funny. We have this song that's coming out soon, if you follow on Spotify, called Plastic People. And a lot of the lyrics for that are influenced by, like, the real dumbass, I mean, the dumb stuff that Josh Homme says on, like, just in general.
Is it just random lyrics?
Well, I don't know what I can necessarily say into
it's
this.
More, I mean, it's more like, kooky.
Yeah, it's more like comedic and silly.
Yeah.
It has, like, just an air of not taking yourself so seriously, because it's very easy.
It's nonsensical.
Well, because it's very easy when you write lyrics to be, like, serious and talk about meaningful things. You can
this
still
is
do
the,
that.
I genuinely think this is the progress of most bands, which is you start off in, like, sixth form, and then you write, like, why did my girlfriend, who I don't have, jump me, and stuff like that. And then after that, you then just go into, like, Alex Turner, just like, I know, I'll just do huge metaphors, equally cringe. And, like, the stuff that I like and the stuff that matches, I would say, my performance principle is the real dumb stuff. And it is fun. Like, it is fun. You can tell a story that never has happened, has no relation to anyone. I find those the most fun.
I do think once you stop taking yourself so seriously, like, it becomes more easy to find your sound and, like, just more fun in general.
After 5 years of doing this, we've had some appalling gigs. We've had some fantastic ones. We've had some absolute, like, hunting, so
stingers.
Bad. Yeah, just honkers, terrible. And we've also had some really good ones, but we've also released some of the music we've written, practiced together, has been great, terrible. But I would say nowadays we're getting more consistent just because we are taking ourselves less seriously, like, and we're, like, happy to, like, draw on influences. Like, I think as well, a lot of bands get really worried about being really derivative. And, like, obviously, we can't give any expert advice because we're not really a professional band. We try, but we're not.
I'd say if you're in a band, you're a professional
But in general, like, if you just write, like, if you want to take inspiration from somebody, do it and just rock it, because it'll be so fun. And cut loose on stage, it's sick.
Is Alice in Chains one of your big influences?
Not a big one, but I've been getting into them recently.
I really like grungy, almost like Nirvana, but not really.
Nirvana if they were a bit more metal. Lane Staley's vocals are great.
90s rock is really, like, where we sit, like, I think a lot of us, like, that's our common ground, is, like, 90s rock, just in general.
How do you guys write songs? Do you jam?
It varies from time to time. So recently it's the two most recent ones have been ones that Will's been working on, and then he's brought them to the band, and then we've sort of added our own bits onto them, and then they've developed from the original, like, just chords and lyrics, and into, like, a much
sometimes
more
sometimes I wrote more than chords. Rarely, but sometimes.
And then I rewrite it.
And where did you guys come from today? Because you said you drove 6 hours.
We came from Hebden Bridge.
Ooh, yeah.
So, Happy Valley if you watch a lot of BBC television.
I'm not, like, clued up into
north.
That.
Up north. Yeah. A quaint northern town.
Yeah. I came from London after work, so it wasn't as bad of a travel down, but I was carrying a lot of stuff just on the tube, and that was a whole ordeal in and of itself. But,
do you all live in different areas then?
Pretty much, yeah.
I came from Brighton, so that's where I live currently. So yeah, we are, but also what I think's interesting about this band is that we obviously started in sixth form, like, together, you know, sans Luke, but now we're starting to sort of, like, vaguely come back together in a weird way, because we're all sort of around, like, in and around London over the next few years, and that's, I think, very exciting.
Do you like playing in London?
We played
at the Old Queen's Head in Islington, and we decided it was amazing. We decided to do a 2-hour set,
and not book any support.
It was quite a silly idea.
It was fun though. It was really fun. So we just bolted our set list with a couple of covers and had a 15-minute break in between, but it was great.
It was quite heavy, like hard on you guys just playing for 2 hours.
We did so hard.
But we did, we decided not to do, we didn't get any supports. I don't know why, we just thought we'd do it all by ourselves. Yeah. We gave ourselves like a 15-minute break in the middle. And it's actually so funny because they had this like little karaoke room upstairs, which was like pin coded, so we could just go in there and decompress. And it was just so much fun. Like, okay, start a bit, you do all like your maybe more like indie soft stuff that everyone likes. And then by the end of it, we finished with Songs for the Dead by Queens of the Stone Age. And it was just like, the only video we have of it is like someone's dad's 8-bit quality version of people losing their minds.
It's quite funny.
We decided to do a Deftones cover as well, at the request of your mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be quiet and drive far away. So we down-tuned like Drop C, which now we actually have a song in Drop C.
Yeah.
But like...
Was that the influence then?
Deftones were a bit of an influence on
it. That's on that Do song, It Again. Actually, yeah.
So our single that came out in April. That started off a pretty like Deftones-y song, but it developed into something else.
What's your pre-show routine as well?
There are a couple things as like a pre-show thing, which is the first thing you have to realize is that like depending on how long your set is, if it's an hour, everyone's got to go for a wee beforehand. So as a band, you've all got to go and have a wee.
What if you need to go in the middle of playing?
Well, that happened to you in the last
gig. I was desperate midway through and I was just like, oh God, I've got to power on through. And then as soon as we finished, I just ran off stage into the green room.
I thought you meant you'd peed mid-set and I had no idea.
No.
So that would have been really impressive, actually, yeah.
No, so we've got that.
Yeah, I mean, meal deal, always important. Got to get food in you, get your fluids up.
That real starchy stuff.
You know, crisps, real healthy foods.
Carb food, that's all you need.
A lot of carbs.
A monster.
So I don't actually drink sugar, but the only time I will is for like... Because the thing is, if you're headlining, you sound check at like... I mean, the last one was like 3:30 or something. Mm-hmm. You don't play till 10. So that's a lot of time for your like adrenaline to just like go away. So you need something to keep you going. And sometimes we'll do like in the green room, do like weird exercises and things just to like
you start,
get
I've
you going.
A video of you doing press-ups.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the final.
I was panicking. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Was this like 5 minutes before and you were
pretty
literally...
much? It was. Yeah. No, I think it was. It was. This was before that London 2-hour London one.
You've got to hype yourself up.
How many push-ups did you do?
Big stress. Oh, it was many.
Too many. I lost count.
It was many. Yeah.
It was hundreds.
We'll leave it at
hundreds,
that. Maybe. Yeah. Well,
the whole length of that song.
Yeah.
That was an episode. But I think since then there hasn't been any repeats. Yeah. It's been exercise replaced with booze.
I was about to I was about to say. So one of the things is that personally, as a singer, I don't drink beforehand. Wish I could because it like dries my voice out. Drinking before a gig is a real skill to get the right amount. It's a risky one.
There's a sweet spot of pints before and during, and how many you reckon you can have and still be able to play your instrument.
Yeah. Have you made an error before?
A few times.
Well, never.
Now and then.
Never at all. No.
So good at it.
They're not like the worst errors in the world, but it's the only ones that like you'll notice. But
Do you get free drinks?
Yeah.
Although it's only really started happening recently.
Yeah.
We started getting the little like care. What are they actually called? I always call them Red care strike. Packages. What are they called? Riders.
It's not a rider. Because request.
Yeah, you get. It's not a rider because that's in a contract.
Yeah.
So like, Van Halen had in their rider that they had to have all the brown M&Ms taken out. But that was because the reason for that was because their staging was so dangerous. If they hadn't read the entire rider, then something could go wrong and they wouldn't play the show.
So if there were brown M&Ms.
So if there weren't any brown M&Ms in the, they knew that they'd read the whole rider.
That's incredibly clever. Yeah.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
But you know what I have
so
to say?
So everyone thought it was
though.
Like diva stuff, but it wasn't. It was actually just safety.
You always think it's diva, but that's actually very smart.
Yeah.
Van Halen. Yeah. Health and safety.
Health and safety. You know what I think about, you know, because I think it's a good thing, especially when, you know, lots of bands don't, you know, get paid
for doing gigs at, you know, your like 100-200 cap venues. So, you know, some beers are nice. But I think that they should think of the people who don't drink beer, because I like a,
well
nice
fruit, said,
a nice fruity cider, and I think there should be at least some accommodation for that's those right. who, you know...
Or like a Pimm's.
Or even that.
A Pimm's before would be joy.
Such a chill summer drink. Just the, go for a Pimm's.
Think of like, think of the venues in which that like we play at, right? Like sticky floors, grungy... would never want to go to any of the toilets. It's the vibe, right? If someone brought a jug of Pimm's and you were sat in this like metal,
with a straw.
Yeah, just like all the band had this massive jug of Pimm's, four straws going like in a venue. Just have some lagers. Just power through. Have lagers.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen in the audience?
I thought you just meant in life.
Oh no, I mean you could say in life.
Did a couple of things. I remember when. We incited a mosh pit at the Fulford Arms gig we did, and people were like falling onto the monitors, like into the stage, and they were shifting about. They got picked up straight away, but that was quite fun.
We had one of Luke's mates come on stage when we were playing in York, and he started like dancing, and then he went, "Can I play your guitar?" And I was like, "Well, there's only one song left." I was like, "Well, can you play this song?" And he went, "No." And I was like, I didn't want to be like the jerk who's like, "Get this guy off stage." But I was like,
yeah.
You can't really help us. Like, I'm really sorry.
Security came up and spoke to me, and they were like, "Is he in the band?" And I was like, "No." And then they just dragged him off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You don't want to be that guy. No one wants to be that guy. But it's like, I don't know what to do.
For the couple minutes during the song that he was up for, it was a kind of a case of like, you kind of had to pay him enough attention that the security guards wouldn't, you know, come over and nab him immediately. Because he was our mate. We didn't want him to leave immediately. Like, once the song was over, yeah, fair enough. It's a bit weird at that point. But it was a balancing act for sure, to keep playing your instrument, but also make sure this guy doesn't get
decked. We did have, in the London one actually, there's this guy, shout out to Sam Nicklin, who got absolutely blasted, I mean like horrendously drunk, and like they started like stacking glasses on the stage, but I mean it must have got to about 12 glasses high. It was like the size of a 6-year-old, like it was tall.
Jeez.
And then they all fell. And then it was just silence, glasses broken. Nicklin out of the blue, she goes, "Me!" Like that. And then it's like, what do you do? So then we just did a bit of like 12 bar blues while the poor woman came and had to like clean it. She wasn't even working. She
like
was
sad
like.
Sad music.
Yeah, well, no, it's just like.
So we just were like, how do we entertain the audience without exciting them a little too much? So we were just like, let's just play 12 bar blues in front of
it. It was elevator music. Basically.
Yeah, it was basically elevator. Well, this poor person who was actually doing the sound had to clear it all up. Yeah.
She was lovely.
I bet she appreciated the music though in the background, the calm music, the kind of slow things down.
Really heavy. And
so did
like,
we.
Okay, time to do a really grungy, moshy song.
But so did we, right? Because if you have to sit there and wait for this to get, I mean, like 12 glasses to get cleared up fully, like, that's a solid 10-minute job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't really, like, everyone just go. They'd be like, I guess this is over now.
I know, exactly. What's your favourite gig that you guys have ever been to?
Been to?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll see. Because mine's really easy.
Oh, okay, go for it.
I've got like 4 hours. So, a couple of months ago, I went to see Queens of the Stone Age in Margate, and not because I, because obviously, you know, why would you go to Margate for any other reason other than a gig?
But, seaside town.
Yeah, it was nice, nice beach. But well, I'm used to like Brighton's like stony beach.
Yeah.
So actually, to see some sand was quite pleasant. But no, that gig was amazing because they like ran over, they cut off the PA, kept going. It's like, they're just iconic, and it's like, I feel there's a lot you can learn from like seeing bands who have done it for so long and still have like the energy to not just like phone it in. But yeah, that gig, amazing.
What was your favourite song that they played?
My favourite song they did was I Appear Missing off Like Clockwork. Honestly, like my voice was just gone after that song. Not even by the end of the night, just after that song. Amazing gig.
Was there any moshing?
There was, but I was, because I was at the barrier, so I didn't have that opportunity. I was kind of just stuck between two very lovely Australian girls.
That's not funny, sorry.
And I was like, okay, well, There is literally no room to move here.
Yeah.
We're just stuck here for an hour, and it was great.
Yeah, having a good time with other people in the audience. I love it when you make a friend in the audience as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because obviously, you know, if you're going to do that sort of thing, you need to commit and be there, you know, hours beforehand, get front row.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was amazing. And it's why I'm going again with these losers.
Exactly. Awesome. When? When's that happening?
16th of November.
God, it's just like that, isn't it, Harry?
God, we're just so connected.
Like brothers.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. We look alike too.
No, we don't.
How about you?
I think for me, it's got to be Bullet for My Valentine at the Download pilot a couple of years ago. So
nice.
After COVID, Download was one of the events that the government wanted to put on as like a test or whatever it was. So it was like a reduced capacity thing, just, you know, kind of post-pandemic, so everyone was like itching to get back and, you know, doing things again. So that combined with them being one of my favourite bands, who I hadn't seen before, I don't think, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you could tell the crowd was just up, you know, really up for it, because everyone was so frustrated and looking forward to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also my first proper mosh and crowd surf as well.
Brilliant. So that's awesome.
It was the whole package, really. Like, crowd surfing at the end to Tears Don't Fall was such a 2000s metalcore moment.
You know, take you back to your childhood.
In ways, yeah. Not that I'm old enough to really listen to them in their peak era back then, but no.
How old are all of you guys as well?
21.
Oh
my God, you're so young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy babies. It, guys.
Doesn't feel it.
Harry looks about four. Yeah. No, I'm joking. I'm only playing Harry.
God, they can't prove this, so they're going to take your word for it.
They'll have to check out the Instagram to find out.
Have a look on their Instagram. TikTok?
Yeah.
It exists.
It's there. Sometimes.
How about you?
Personally, Charlie and I went to see Slipknot at Sheffield, which was the most bruising.
Just before COVID,
and it was the most bruising experience physically. It was, but like, to live through something like that, what a thing! You know, what a thing! It's sort of like,
get out alive.
Yeah, it's sort of like being in like a really horrendous accident and then surviving. You sort of feel a new lease of life.
That's one. But to be fair, the mosh pit did collapse on us, and we had
some very fat, bald,
large, middle-aged men,
quite honest, honking,
and I felt like my leg was gonna break.
Yeah.
Luckily,
were they like 6 foot? Like,
no, yeah. They were just very big.
Oh, okay.
They were tall as well. They were tall. Yeah. But the other thing as well is that, like, because I'm quite tall, I get very afraid.
Quite tall is really underselling.
You're 6'7", mate.
I get stuff thrown at me from time to time. If you do that, don't. I was going to say,
spare a thought.
Spare a thought for me.
He's pointing at the microphone.
Wait, on stage, people throw stuff at you.
Well, this is Leeds Fest, which was an absolute
in the crowd.
He was too tall.
You're not a band. That would be a real.
There's a whole thing going on with celebrities getting things thrown at them. I thought, like, if they started it.
Maybe they just love tall order.
Will is actually a celebrity.
No, it's not. But yeah, it would probably be Slipknot. If not, I really liked Wallows at Leeds Fest, because it was in the morning and all the 13-year-olds were still in bed. So it was actually just really wholesome. It was what I was hoping Leeds Fest would be.
Yeah.
So did like that. Wallows really good.
And is it Slipknot for you as well?
No, I've got like 4 answers.
Okay, go for
it. I can't pick.
Pick one.
That was the question.
There's too many. So I went to see the 1975 on their very best tour.
Awesome.
That was amazing. That was in Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
That was with Luke as well, actually.
Yes,
it was. Crowd surfing to Metallica, also with Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Was amazing.
So good.
Slaves, who are now Soft Play.
I've seen them as well,
I've seen
them
3 times, and every time it's been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll leave it there.
Absolutely mental bands, heavy metal bands.
Great bands with like, well, the 1975 aren't exactly
metal,
and then the 1975. Yeah.
I do love the 1975. I'm proud to admit.
Yeah, awesome. He's very, very cool.
Yeah, and he's amazing.
Depends who you ask.
Well, yeah, I like him. I think he's cool.
Mr. Got other opinions here.
I'd say there's a real 50-50 divide in the band. I wouldn't say where the divide lies.
I'd say there's
lies,
a literal 50-50.
Yeah.
And have you got music coming out soon as well?
You better believe it.
Yeah.
It's not recorded, but oh baby.
It will be out at some point.
In all seriousness, recording really, really soon.
Okay.
And we've got 3 songs,
mm-hmm.
all of which are being played this evening at Guildford, mm-hmm. and will be continued to be even played live. Those will all be recorded pretty soon, and they'll all come out. I mean, it'll probably just bleed over into next year releases. We did think about doing an EP, but like, it's kind of, I don't know. It's when you do an EP, it has to really be like the thing. You have to like really, you know, I don't know. It has to be coherent, it has to be marketable, you have to be like in a really good place. Not that we aren't, it's just that like, we're going to be like kind of moving down into London for a bit, so like having a really good repertoire of singles out,
mm-hmm.
And that'll put us like on a platform, I think, for like maybe an EP in a following year. But there's loads of singles on the way.
Yeah, the important thing to note is that as of basically a week ago, we released our new single, How It Goes, on Spotify and all other major streaming platforms, which is one of our favourite songs. It's got kind of the song has, you know, unique aspects that each of the band members contributes that you can kind of pinpoint quite clearly. It makes more sense if you listen to it,
mm-hmm.
FYI. But yeah, no, and we're really happy with it. And
listen to it on Spotify.
Yes, get the streams up, please.
We've got numbers.
Add it to your playlist, most importantly. Yeah.
We can see who does it. So if you add it to the playlist and then write something obscene as the playlist title and you stream it like twice, we'll see it. So
I didn't know that.
That is a thing. Yeah, so if you like a sort of smallish band and you put a playlist like, I don't know, playlist or something like that, you can see it. You can see people do it.
Oh
so
my God.
We'll go and do it again. So if we go on, where's it going? Playlists or just in general. So these are playlists that people have added our songs to.
We do it since 2015.
I think I'm gonna start doing that. Just like
the cricket team. I don't know what this is. Everything.
Somebody had a really awful one down here.
Yeah.
Do you know the what?
I know. I
probably
no
won't say it on the thing, but we'll just show it.
Okay, let's see.
I think it's you have to click on do it again.
Really
you have to click on do it again.
This one.
And then go playlist all time.
Yeah.
Keep going.
For Giles. Who's Giles?
2015.
We're not playing.
Oh, it's not
gone
there.
Now.
It's gone.
It's a shame.
It was quite obscene.
It made us laugh.
It was funny, but it was also a bit like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out after this. Like, just tell me what it was.
Yeah.
Or you can say now and I can just
say that. No,
let's keep this off.
It's not, because if we say that is what they will, people remember. If people who listen to this will remember it, it's like, oh, that's that band who had that title of playlist.
The moral of the story is.
Yeah.
Just name your playlist something fun, you know?
And then add our songs to it.
And then add our songs to it so we can rate it.
Yeah.
Be like, we love Tall Order, and then you'll have a look and
that
be like,
that's
like
a feature you in a TikTok. We'll get...
Tell you what, if you put a little green heart at the end, we will repost it on our Instagram. How about that?
Yeah.
That we've seen it.
Awesome. So shout out to the person that does
that. There's a little promo thing. If anybody does it by accident, they'll think, what the fuck? But yeah, little green heart. We'll do that.
Also, if they don't know about it,
better. Green heart?
I don't know.
I don't know, as in like, to like it, but if they put the red one, you know, someone might just have like, I heart Matty Healy or something, and then it's like, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of I heart Matty Healy, just thought
exactly.
I'd say that. Yeah.
What, two of them over in?
Yeah. Oh.
Split, divide. What's the song that you're looking forward to the most playing tonight?
Plastic People, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would say Danny.
Okay.
All our songs begin with D's, by the way.
Is it about someone called Danny?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's about a kind of it's about like a type of person. The kind of like jerk you meet on a night out, and it's just like, they're not bothering you, but it's just like, you just see the things that they do. So one of the lines is that, like, for example, you always see those guys, they go out on a night out, they never bring like cigarettes with them, and then they buy their pack, but then they have to smoke them all because they're really afraid their mum's gonna find out. Those kind of, and they're always jerks as well, but they always suck. So it's a bit about that.
Statement or great generalization.
Sorry, they're not all jerks, but there are some echelon of jerks who do that. And they blow.
You can recognise it. It's a telltale sign.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Is there anything you guys want to add about your Instagram? Just Spotify name, TikTok name?
So our Instagram name is tall.order.band. Mm-hmm. Our Spotify is just Tall Order. Mm-hmm. Still use Facebook. I think that's still Tall Order Band Official or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have Twitter.
TikTok is tall.order.
Yeah, we managed to get the actual handle for that.
Yeah. And also, I spent the best part of like 3 hours. For some reason, all our songs, our gigs, were getting moved over to like a different account, so you couldn't see them on the Spotify when the gigs were coming up. Now you can. So if you follow the Spotify, you can see the upcoming gigs.
Awesome.
So.
And all the dates there. Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Really good fun.